your Bibles to the book of Mark, if you will, the book of Mark. And I certainly appreciate this opportunity and this privilege of being able to be here. It is a thrill to my heart. And I was sitting back there thinking this opportunity is one that I have to be very mindful of staying in my own, course. I was thinking a lot of times as in the three aspects of preachers, as a young man, it's hard to find your crowd. As a middle-aged, it's hard to stay with your crowd. As an old preacher, it's hard to tolerate any other crowd. And I'm just line upon line, precept on precept. And the hardest thing to do is to stay in your lane and be what God wants you to be. And but that's what I want to do in the time that God has given us here together. In Mark chapter number 5, and I begin reading a very familiar passage, Mark chapter number 5, verse number 24. And we find a story, as I said, very familiar to you. Notice the Bible said, "Then Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would breathe upon us, use us. You know the desire of our heart. Lord, I thank you for what our ears have already been privileged to hear, and we'll hear, and we'll love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. I usually, when I go to a particular church or whatever I do, I usually tell them, read your Bible in color. In other words, the idea is when you come to a passage of Scripture, live the event. And when you begin to live the event, you would be amazed at the way the Word of God begins to live or bring forth truth that will aid you in days to come. Here we have a story where this rich ruler has come of the synagogue, and he has a daughter that is dying and in great need, and he has consented to go with her. And as he begins to make this consent to go with her, the Bible points out that there is this great multitude of folks. Matter of fact, they are pressing in on every side. And as I read that passage, I can see it. I can see as Jairus is there and Jesus is there. And they begin to make the move, and there is this massive crowd, and it's almost like the flow of a river, and they're making their journey, Brother Dana, and they're moving. And notice how the text reads. It's almost as if an abruptness, Jesus wheels, and he said, "Who touched me?"
Amen.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I could almost be as perplexed as the disciples. I mean, they look around, and it's not just the idea of who touched me, but he's to the point, Brother Dana. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" I mean, who's brushed up against me? Who is it that has somehow brushed up and made contact with me? Who is that individual? And the disciples are bewildered. They're saying, Lord, I mean, here they are. They're throning you. There's this massive flow of people, and you want to know who touched you. But see, the difference is the disciples saw people, but Jesus was looking for a person. He was looking for a particular individual. You say, well, who's he looking for? He's looking for the one that was looking for him. In other words, there's a mass of people that were there. They were gathered there about Jesus. But may I say in the text, there's one lone individual. There's one lone person among that gigantic crowd that has come, that she may get close, and she's looking to Jesus. She's looking toward Jesus. And may I say, he wants to meet with all those that want to meet with him. But there's something interesting here by way of introduction. That massive crowd that is moving along, they have come to see a miracle. That's all they're interested in. All they're interested is in seeing something. Brother Mantoum, all their eyes are open. They're like Herod that desired to see Jesus so that they might see this miracle that Jesus was doing. But may I say here in the text, may I say this woman's not come to see a miracle. She's come to experience a miracle. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I've been privileged in these 35 years of evangelism to drop in on meetings much like this. And may I say, I find that there's far more people that have come to a meeting like this to see something. And after the service, they can gather and they can talk about, I saw this, or you should have been at Taylorsville, or you should have been at this church, or you should have been at that church. And all they've got to talk about, this is what I saw. But may I say, there's very few said you should have been there and experienced what I experienced. Amen. You should have been there so that you didn't just see something, but you took something home, that you took something back with you, that somewhere in the crowd, I didn't just see Jesus pass by, but I made contact with Jesus. You say, why is that important? Because we're living in a day and hour that we've had to turn our churches and turn our worship services into entertainment so they can see something and not experience something. See, you can be in something and not of something. Jesus said to the disciples, you're in the world. That means you occupy a position there. But he said, you're not of the world. You don't derive your existence from them. You don't derive your nature from them. You don't derive or draw from the world. And may I say, this woman here, she may have been bodily in the crowd, but may I say, she was not of that crowd. She wasn't looking to draw from that crowd. You say, what do you mean, Brother Bob? May I say, the thing that separated her was her beliefs. And may I say this, dear, this morning, dear friend, the thing that separates you from the world is your real beliefs. Not what you say you believe, but what you really believe, what is lived out of your life. Because I want to tell you, your real beliefs will motivate you. Your real beliefs will drive you. Your real beliefs will not be a stop by any barrier. May I say, your beliefs will get you to the object of your belief. And may I say, she pressed through that crowd and she's making her way and she's not of that crowd. She's nothing like that crowd because of her beliefs. But I want to magnify, there's three thoughts, but I want to magnify one very quickly of what made her different. May I say in verse number 28, she was different in her purpose. She was different in her purpose. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now I just want to pause and I just want to ask you one very simple question. Why are you here?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Why are you really here? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was about 18, 19 years old, I went to church regularly. But I didn't go to church for the right. I went to see people. One particular little lady in particular, I went to see her. That was my reason for going. And may I say, we have a lot of political, religious people that go to be with the right crowd and go to associate with the right crowd. They go for a multitude of reasons, but they have no real purpose for being there. But may I say, this woman had a reason, and her purpose was, she said, if I may touch, I shall be whole. Now, I want to give you these three things and elaborate on them. May I say, first of all, in verse 28, she went there to touch. Amen. That word touch there means to attach oneself. It means simply to, in one way, to make a relationship. The word, not only did she go for a touch, but she went for a transformation. She said, I desire to be made whole. Amen. There was a change that she wanted to happen in her life. And then there was going to be a transfer. The Bible said in verse 30, that virtue has gone out of him. That word virtue there means force, miraculous power, or miracle itself. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but if it left him, it had to go somewhere. Yeah. He stopped and said, virtue has left me. Power has left me. A miracle has left me. Now, it had to go somewhere. Yeah. Now, you can believe what you want to. I think I know where it went. And you say, well, what's the significance of what you're saying, Brother Bob? My point is this morning. May I say, when I read that and I look at that text, you know what I realize? This is basically the entire nature of what the Christian life ought to be about. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? May I say, we ought to go to a service. You ought to be here at Taylorsville for one simple reason. You've not come for Steve Dagenhart or our brother Fox or to rub shoulders with nobody else, but you've come to make contact with Jesus Christ. Somewhere you've made a desire of your heart. You're going to lay a hold of the garment. You're going to form a relationship. You're going to form a bond. There's going to be a greater bond between you and Christ than the time that you came, that you got here in this service. You know what's sad is we go to church. We have times that we meet together as God's people, and they come in and they meet there, and yet somehow they make no contact with Christ. They make no bond with Christ. Can I ask you a question? Do you have a stronger relationship today than the day you got saved? In other words, most of you that I'm looking here, I see you in other meetings, I see you in other services. I wonder, since the last time I seen you, is there, Brother Bobby, is there a stronger bond? Is there a stronger unity? Is there a stronger drawing together with Christ? Is there a nearness to Him? I want to tell you, you're talking about changing our churches. If somehow our people would get to the point that when they come, they don't care about seeing the preacher. They don't care about seeing somebody else. But their whole purpose, if I can just get a hold of Jesus, if I can just somehow lay claim to Him, if somehow when I leave here, my bond and my relationship and my unity with Christ is greater than it's ever been. She went there for the purpose of touching Him and making a relationship. This last, I'm 72 years old. Got saved when I was 13. You know what I'd like to think? I'd like to think that I'm closer to Christ today than I was the day I got saved. I'd like to think that there's something I know more about Him today than I knew then. And I'm going to give you something better now. I'd like to think that moving into this year, there's something about Him that I'm stronger, I'm in greater relationship, that I'm more tender toward Him, that He knows, which He knows everything, but in our relationship, there's a greater bond and unity and love among us. But then notice, not only did she go for the touch, but she went for the transformation. In other words, she wants something to be altered in her life. In other words, in this move that she's making, She's dissatisfied with who she is. She's dissatisfied with where she is. She's dissatisfied with all the pursuits that she's been making in life. She's tired of that. And what she desires is, when I get over there, when I get into the presence of God, there's going to be somehow a change made in my life. Somehow I'm going to cease being who I am, that I might somehow be more like who He is. She's going to move from a state of the sickness of sin to the likeness and the health of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, I wonder, is it not a shame that folks can come in and sit down in a church service and listen to the type of preaching that we've been listening to, and get up and in a matter of moments go to Waffle House and the folks that wait on us see no more likeness of Christ, no more character of holiness, no more likeness to the things of God than they did the last time we were there. I mean, that's a pitiful state. Our brother was talking about building bridges. You say, how do you do that? May I say, there's a like, though that generation behind you begins to see something of the likeness of Christ and a little less of man and who man is. This woman said, I've got a purpose. And I know what my purpose is. I don't know what anybody else wants to do. But I want to get to the point I make a relationship.
Amen.
And I'm going to work on every time I get an opportunity, I'm going to work on that relationship. And not only am I going to work on that relationship, I'm going to work on a manifestation. I'm going to, my whole purpose is to be made whole. My whole purpose there, as the Bible talks about, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But then notice a third thing. Not only has she went for a touch, she's went for a transformation, she's went for a transfer. She's went for a transfer. In other words, she has went in order, Brother Dana, that some of him may reside within her. Now, I'm not the, like one fellow I was in a meeting the other last week, he said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the spoon either. But you know what I know? I know that if you have a vessel that is full, and if you're going to put anything else in it, I know you have to empty something out of the vessel in order to pour something else in it. And so the Bible is very specific. He's moving along, and he abruptly stops, and he said, "Who touched me?" Disciples say, well, how can you say that, Lord? He said, you want me to tell you how I know? Some of me just left. Some of me's gone, Brother Steve. Brother Fox, some of me left. And may I say, not only did he know it, she knew it, because the Bible said, and she perceived. He perceived virtue had left. And she knew immediately something had transformed in her. They didn't have to tell her she got whole. They didn't have to tell her she got healed. They didn't have to tell her something had transformed in her life. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. There was a transfer. All of a sudden, something of God moved on the inside. Now, you say, well, when that happens, what's going to have to happen? I'll tell you what's going to have to happen. A little you's going to have to leave. And I want to tell you, if we had some folks from the day that I got saved, I would purpose within their heart that every time I get a chance, I'm going to renew my relationship. I'm going to make sure that there's a transfer that begins to take place. And I want to make sure that there's a transformation begin to happen. More of me is going to die. More of me is going to leave. And more of him is going to start living within me. I want to tell you, make a difference in our churches. It'd make all the difference in our churches. The truth of the matter is, whether we like it or not, the reason most of the generation coming on don't want what we got is they ain't seeing nothing they want. They hear the talk, but they don't see the walk. Our brother pointed out a while ago, it doesn't happen just immediately. It's something that transpired. And here this woman, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't think half these people knew why they were there. But this woman knew why she was there. She had a purpose in her heart and her life. And think about this just for a moment, and I'm through. A touch led to a transfer, and a transfer led to a transformation. You say, what will change our churches? What will change our world? When enough of us are willing that more than anything else we want to touch. We want to transfer from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to make such a transformation in our life that when they see us, they don't see us. Amen. But they see Him. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't it all about being seeing Him? Amen. She came with the right purpose. She assumed the right position. She had the right perception. Amen. And because of that, you know what she did? Out of all that other crowd, rubbed shoulders with Him. But may I say, there was a certain woman. She touched Him. And she got what she needed. Amen. You know, let me make this comment. I've been thinking about this all morning. Jesus acknowledged. He was the one that recognized her. Now I want you to get this. Please get this. We have far more people interested in being recognized by somebody else. Amen. The truth of the matter is, I thought about this all morning as I've been thinking about this, Brother Fox. Did you know that she could have slipped in and slipped out of that crowd and Jesus could have walked right on by? And Brother Dana, she could have got everything she needed and been just as happy and just as whole. Nobody ever knowed it because she wasn't interested in being seen by them. The truth of the matter is, can I ask you to do this? Would you be more interested in just touching Him, seeing a transfer and a transformation, and pray within the recesses of heart that nobody knows anything about it but you? Because you know what's going to happen? You don't have to tell them. It won't be very long. Everybody will know it. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Thank you.